Welcome to Sunny World Engage, a platform where we converse and engage with people of interest in the South African public life. And today we take a little bit of a detour from normal procedure. We are honored to host Ntate Prince Mashel, and a very well-known political analyst and commentator who's also published author. Mr. Prince Mashel, okay, my brother.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. I don't know why you invited me.
Yeah.
I'm a celebrity.
Maybe we must actually start having celebrity political analysts, and you must be one of them.
I will be excluded. I can assure you. They are better.
Yeah. What have you been up to, Brother Prince?
You know, I'll tell you honestly what I've been up to.
Yeah.
I've been struggling to survive.
Yeah.
That's what I've been up to. I mean, normal human being. I sell cars. People don't know.
Is it?
Yeah, I sell Suzuki.
Yeah, car salesman.
I sell Mahindra. I'm part of a dealerships.
I will.
Yes. Trying to survive. I sell chickens somewhere in Bushbuck Ridge. There's a small farm and small hatchery. I sell all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And in the middle of that, I read books.
Yeah.
And you from time to time, you smoke me out of my hole and you invite me to say something.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's a lot that is happening. Maybe let's jump straight into it. Let's start with the GNU. In terms of your own analysis, there's been a lot that has been happening around the budget, the DA turning against their partners, the ANC negotiating with everyone. In fact, last week, the ANC was meeting all sorts of political parties to, and now they appear to have made a U-turn about the VAT increase. What is the state of the GNU, and why is there so much going on within the GNU?
You see, you won't understand the chaos that is happening within the GNU, mm-hmm. the so-called GNU, mm-hmm. call it a coalition government or whatever you want.
Yeah.
If you don't place it in a proper political context. And here is the context. South Africa is going through what I would call a second transition.
Yeah.
Or call it, political scientists technically would call it a realignment moment.
Mm-hmm.
The first transition was in 1994, if you don't go back too far in history.
Mm-hmm.
When the National Party died and the ANC took over. That period of the first transition, which was a realignment moment, mm-hmm. was characterized by a few things. One, it was characterized by anxiety and confusion.
Yes.
And fear.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens when a force that held society together exits the political stage.
Mm-hmm.
People are scared because they cannot imagine the future.
Mm-hmm.
So fast forward to where we are now. We are going through a transition where the ANC is being processed out of government.
Mm-hmm.
Now, necessarily, when you go through a moment like that, there will be confusion, there will be fear, and there will be anxiety in society.
Mm-hmm.
Even the political mechanisms that are at work will necessarily be unstable.
Mm.
So that is what is happening.
Yeah.
Now, let's get into deeper into the details of the GNU.
Yes.
The GNU is unstable and will be unstable for as long as it exists.
Mm.
Because it is a mechanism that is processing out a force that held society together for 30 years.
Yeah.
It's not going to be stable, number one. Number two, it has to be a game of tactics between the forces inside. So, what is the overriding strategic goal of all the parties that are in the GNU? It's one, is to weaken the other party. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
The ANC is in it, not because it loves South Africa. The ANC hates South Africa, by the way. How do you judge that the ANC hates South Africa? Look at what the party has done to South Africa. It has collapsed South Africa. Just go anywhere where the ANC governed, whether it's a municipality, whether it's a province, you will realize that the ANC has ravaged that space.
Yes.
So the ANC wants to weaken the DA in the GNU. It's the same goal that the DA is pursuing. It wants to weaken the ANC. Even the smaller parties, by the way, don't want the ANC to grow.
Mm.
Don't want the DA to grow. They hope that these two bigger parties will weaken so that they can grow and eventually become the government of South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what is happening. You can get into the budget, into the budget stuff. And let me say something about it. The party that messed up that budget fiasco is the DA. How? The DA played good chess in the beginning. Mm-hmm. What was the first move of the DA? Was to get the ANC to postpone the presentation of the budget for the first time in 30 years. Yes. We had never seen that.
Yes.
That was a massive, smart chess move. Win number one. Then the ANC had to make a move after that. The ANC figured out that it was in a corner. And it was placed in that corner by the DA. They wanted to get out of that corner. So what did they do? They made a move. They said, fine, we wanted 2% of VAT increase. We will now cut that in half. And we will now give you 1% of VAT increase and we'll spread it across 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
If I were the DA, by the way, if I were a strategist of the DA, I would have said, take it. The DA, that's where they made a tactical move, a tactical mistake. They did not take it. You know, when they did not take it, the ANC is still in a corner. Then the ANC was forced to look around for a back door. So the DA showed the ANC a back door, and that back door was Action SA.
Yeah.
And they realized, can we get out of this corner? Ah, there's Action SA. If we want to talk to Action SA and they support us, we can get out of this corner. And that's how they got out of the corner. So the DA must blame itself for showing the ANC the back door. The problem with this back door is this. The ANC is not going to use it once. The ANC now knows that there's a back door.
Mm.
There is no point anymore in the GNU to negotiate seriously with the DA. And the DA is the weaker partner now going forward.
And then obviously out of that, the bigger talk that flowed out of that was whether the DA continues in the GNU or they leave. Do you think they will ever leave? I don't think so, personally.
No, at some point they will leave, not because they will take a decision to leave.
Yeah.
They wanted to leave. Helen wanted the GNU, the DA out of. I mean, the statements that she made after what the ANC did with Action SA, those statements were clear that she wanted out.
Yeah.
And they have been on public record, by the way, the DA and the ANC, that they were pressurized by business to say, you are not getting out of this marriage of convenience. So, yes, they want to leave, but they won't leave because the interest they represent, especially business, will never allow them to leave. Because the GNU, as I said earlier when it was constituted, and I'm going to repeat it, and I don't care who says what.
Yeah.
It is the best thing for South Africa under the circumstances. Anything else would be worse, in my view.
Yeah.
So the DA is aware of that. They won't leave. At some point, the GNU will be dissolved by the party that created it, the ANC.
Mm-hmm.
And I have said it publicly how it's going to be dissolved. It's going to be dissolved with the exit of Cyril Ramaphosa from the government.
Yeah.
Cyril Ramaphosa will not finish his second term, and I say it over and over again.
But why do you say so? Because I believe otherwise. I believe actually he might be the first ANC president to finish.
No, you will have to advance your own theory. But let me share my theory with
okay.
you. So we'll see whose theory is sounder.
Oh, okay.
Here is my theory.
Yes.
Number one, as a president of the ANC and the state is weakest in his or her second term.
Mm-hmm.
Show me one president of the ANC who was state president post 1994 who was strongest in his second term.
None.
So you see your theory has beaten on point number one. Point number two. Let's be clinical about it. Point number two. The ANC psychology is a messed up psychology.
Yeah.
This is how it works. It's an opportunistic psychology. You support a president in his first term because you know this guy will be there possibly for 8 years and you fully behind support him. When he begins his second term, early in that process, you shift and support the next guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the psychology of the ANC. That's how they shifted from Thabo Mbeki. That's how they shifted from Jacob Zuma. That's how they have already shifted, by the way, against Cyril Ramaphosa. Cyril Ramaphosa doesn't have the kind of support that Mbeki had in his first, second year of his second term. By the way, Cyril Ramaphosa is the weakest president of the ANC after 1994, and I can explain to you why. Number one, even if you were to say tribally, because, by the way, tribalism is a reality in South Africa. Anybody who doesn't factor in tribalism in reading South African politics, such a person lives in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Tribally, where is Cyril Ramaphosa's base in the ANC? You'll struggle to locate it,
yeah.
Number one. Number two, if you look at those who supported Cyril Ramaphosa, where are their bases? And what is it that they wanted from Cyril Ramaphosa? They saw him as an instrument for them to access power or perpetuate themselves in power in order to accumulate resources. It's a full stop. Thirdly, is there an ideological point around which they cohere, those who supported Ramaphosa?
No.
None.
Yeah.
Now, you see, I can go on and on.
Yes.
There is my theory. So, Ramaphosa will not win. Let me tell you what's going to play out. I can already see signs.
Mm-hmm.
You see, Paul Mashatile wants to be president of the ANC and of South Africa as in yesterday. He wants it now. He is already making moves. I mean, you may have seen in the recent past, by the way, he has become bolder in making pronouncements relating to the GNU, what he prefers and what he doesn't want.
True.
He actually has made it clear that he doesn't want the DA in the GNU. He never behaved like that before.
True.
Why is he behaving like that? He knows Cyril Ramaphosa is weak now in his second term. Number two, he is positioning himself to be the next guy. So he's mobilizing factions within the ANC to be behind him because they must view him as the next guy. So Cyril Ramaphosa, if he survives, he will survive as ANC president. Obviously, he's going to be voted out in 2027, December.
Yeah, yeah.
In December. And he is not going to present the State of the Nation address in 2028. Zuma didn't present it, that State of the Nation address. They prevented it. They will prevent Cyril Ramaphosa when he's no longer president of the ANC. That's when the DA is going to be kicked out, my friend.
But what if then, what if, okay, here is my theory.
Let's test my theory.
I hear you and I agree with your points, very strong points. But my theory is a little bit different to yours. First of all, I think mine is different in that the ANC doesn't have outright maturity. That first is a point of fact that is different under Cyril now.
That weakens Cyril even more.
Okay, I hear you. But I think it strengthens him. Depending on how you look at it, okay, you are right, I am right. I say it strengthens him because the glue, it looks like, that holds the GNU together is the DA. So I'm saying you are right when you say, I agree with you when you say the DA leaves. But what if then the DA and the business that has been behind them and Cyril says, if to the ANC guys now at the time, the new leadership after December 2027 of the ANC, should you get rid of Cyril, we are out of this GNU thing, we are collapsing the economy.
Yeah, but the ANC forces
mm-hmm.
that support the likes of Paul Mashatile.
Yes.
These are crooks.
Mm.
They don't care.
Yeah.
By the way, they have lots of money.
Yes.
Yeah. They don't care. They would tell the so-called white business to go jump.
Yes.
So they don't worry about what's going to happen to you and I, by the way.
Yeah.
In any case, These fat cats of the ANC have never cared about what happens to the poor black people. Look at black communities.
Yes.
They have ravaged them. So why must they care? For as long as they have money, no problem.
So
this is what they will do by the way.
Yeah.
They will say to business, okay, go jump.
Yeah.
This is what we're going to do. We will rebuild the ANC. And you must watch the space.
Yeah.
They'll say, we will rebuild the ANC. You know what would that rebuilding entail? Reuniting with the EFF, reuniting with MK. And their calculation would be that if they were to join forces with the EFF and MK, they can regain power, mm-hmm. state power.
Mm-hmm.
And that is their ticket, by the way. So they can tell business to go jump.
Yes.
hoping that if they join forces with MK and EFF, they can cross the 51% mark in 2029. And you know what they want? Once they cross that line, they want to loot. Mm. That's all they want. Yeah. They don't care about South Africa.
I hear you. But what if then, okay, another scenario. I'm just now, testing your theory and how far it can go. What if Paul Mashatile doesn't actually win? Because even in that contest, there will be other forces, the likes of Fikile Mbalula. I've heard the name of Sputla Ramakgopa, Panyaza Lesuf. There's many actual names. The Oscar Mabuyanes of this world, there's a whole lot of names. But I think in the main, to be quite fair, the front runners will be Fikile Mbalula and Paul Mashatile. But what if, okay, let's use the front runners. What if Fikile Mbalula wins that conference? And Fikile Mbalula seems to be very happy with the DA within the chain.
I don't think he's happy. I mean, judging by the statements he makes, he insults them publicly. I don't think he's happy.
Yes.
It's not a happy marriage at all. If Fikile Mbalula wins, most probably the GNU would continue.
Yes.
Because Fikile Mbalula, I think he has drunk too much of Cyril Ramaphosa's Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
So I think it would continue along those lines. Fikile Mbalula sees himself in the main as a moderate.
Yes.
As a middle ground politician. True. That's how he positions himself.
Yes.
So I think that if he were to win, they would probably be a GNU. But let me tell you, it would be a weaker GNU. Mm. Because no matter what happens, number one, that protest, that process of removing Cyril Ramaphosa will necessarily be chaotic and divisive in the ANC.
Yes.
So the ANC will not emerge out of that process stronger. And that will translate into significant electoral loss in 2029.
Mm-hmm.
So what will happen is, Fikile wins. The ANC will be weaker, too divided. He won't unite the ANC. So, and the public will react at the polls. The ANC would get less than 30% under Fikile Mbalula.
Mm-hmm.
The MK party would actually grow.
Mm.
And the EFF would stagnate or even decline. So what happens is, the ANC of Fikile Mbalula would sit around 26-27%.
Mm-hmm.
The DA sitting around 23-24%.
Mm-hmm.
Then the two of them could constitute another GNU, which is weaker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with smaller parties.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
And by the way, that would be a nice exit of the ANC from power. Then come 2034, the ANC, and I'll still be around, hopefully.
Yeah.
And I hope you'll still be around.
Yeah.
I will say, call me again. Do you see the script I told you? Then in 2034, the ANC would get less than 20%. It would get something like 15, even 12%.
Yeah.
And that would be history. You wouldn't find an ANC t-shirt in South Africa, by the way. Just like if you went to Zambia today and look for the ANC's counterpart, the party of Kenneth Kaunda, not even a single t-shirt of that party exists.
Yeah.
So, by the way, we must be very happy as South Africans. We are processing the ANC peacefully without it resorting to guns.
Yes.
Elsewhere, in the ZANU-PF, for example, they have resorted to guns and they have sustained themselves in power. So the ANC is going to disappear nicely through GNUs and ultimately we'll have to decide what we want to do with our country.
Yes. Maybe just to finish these points, let's finish with the ANC contest, Prince. In terms of that contest on its own now, the contest 2027 outside GNU, looking inward into the ANC, what for you, which candidate is stronger, especially between these two that we agree on, that are front runners, Fikile Mbalula and Paul Mashatile?
It's Paul. I'll tell you why. Paul is a commander of thugs in the ANC.
Mm.
Thugs are more fierce when they fight.
Mm.
Moderates are moderate when they fight.
Right. Mm.
Thugs are more determined, my friend. When they go to rob a bank, they go with rifles.
Mm.
No, they don't take nopkiris. Moderates take nopkiri.
Yeah.
So Fikile Mbalula is armed with a nopkiri.
Yeah.
Paul is armed with an R1,
AK-47.
So because the thugs know that if there were to be an irrational contest where people debate and they must present their cases and convince society, we would be beaten because society knows we are thugs. they fight dating.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that that is the only way that can facilitate their entry into power.
Yes.
So they will fight hard. So those who support, who would support Fikile, the moderates, wouldn't be as dirty as those who support Paul.
Yes.
That's why Paul, I would argue, is a front runner.
Yes.
Number one. Number two, thugs can strike deals with other thugs. So the thugs who support Paul Mashatile can strike deals with the thugs in MK. I mean, the MK is a party of thugs.
Mm.
I mean, you just have to look at the top and come down. All of the top guys in MK, just look at them carefully, you'll see. State capture. We know, by the way, they are trying very hard to delete our memories. That we must forget that Jacob Zuma was once president of South Africa. He worked with the Guptas. They landed their planes at Waterproof. All of that, they stole money. They want us to forget that. But we won't forget. We know what they did. So the Paul Mashatile thugs can strike deals with the thugs in MK. And they can do the same with the thugs in EFF. That's why those ones are front runners. But, you know, a day is a long time in politics. Things can change. But yeah. That's my reading for now.
For now, as yeah. things stand. And as it relates to the DA, let's also talk about a bit about DA dynamics. As you say,
sure.
What has also become apparent with the DA, the factions now. The GNU has created factions within the DA. You correctly put it, there's Henan Zille, who seemingly is running the anti-GNU faction. In fact, she didn't look appeased with this whole arrangement right from the onset. And then there's the Johnston Hazen, Dean McPherson grouping, which is enjoying the benefits that come with the GNU and is obviously protective of the GNU. What happens internally within the DA going to their next Congress?
You see, anybody who thinks that the DA is a party of angels,
yeah,
such a person lives in a cloud.
Yeah,
the DA is a political party of human beings who are also vulnerable to political tendencies.
Yes.
Number one. Number two, the DA is also factionalized.
Yes.
By the way, factions in political parties are not necessarily a bad thing.
True.
If you study the history of factions, by the way, factions are schools of thought.
True.
And they must contend until one wins the day. So the DA is also factionalized. But the DA is not factionalized along ideological lines.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You ideologically, they're united.
Yes.
All of them in the DA. It doesn't matter whether you talk to Helen or you talk to John. They believe in a free market economy. They believe in a small state. They believe in a liberal society.
Right, yeah.
And we can get deeper into why they believe in a liberal society.
Yes.
In the main, by the way, they want to dissolve the black majority. They don't want the black majority to unite because if the black majority unite, they become a threat
yeah.
to the minorities in South Africa. But let's park that. Here is the thing. The DA internal dynamics are very interesting yeah. in this sense. You see, normally, a political party that is in government would have two centers.
Mm-hmm.
There is a center in government, and there's a center in the headquarters of the party.
Mm-hmm.
Those who in government typically would have been deployed by those who are in the party.
Mm-hmm.
They report back to the headquarters.
Yeah.
What they are doing in government, they go back to report.
Yeah.
So you have got these two figures in the DA. On the one hand, you've got Helen Zille, who's very strong, by the way. She's Fikile Mbalula's counterpart. She's like the Secretary General yeah. of the DA.
Yeah.
She sits in Cape Town in the headquarters. Then you've got John, who goes to government, the minister, right? When he's in government, he commands the forces that side.
Yeah.
But he must report back to Helen.
Yeah.
But he's a party leader.
Yeah.
and Helen doesn't have, is not driven by the same mentality that drives John.
Yes.
John sees himself as a very important personality. He's a minister, has got bodyguards and all of that stuff. And that stuff can get into your head, by the way.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. And Helen is an ordinary person, and she lives like that. I mean, I've interacted with Helen on a number of occasions. I've seen her a few days ago. She's an ordinary person, drives herself, and she goes around with one person. She is not driven by this complex of importance that drives John and them in government.
Yeah.
So For her, this GNU can end anytime. She has no problem with that. But not for John.
Yeah.
John wants this thing to continue so that they can continue enjoying the benefits.
Yes.
So you've got those dynamics. But here is the thing about the DA, and we must give them credit. They are good at managing their internal factional dynamics. They are better than the ANC.
Okay.
So when it comes to crunch time, they actually do come together and they do debate, by the way, and differ robustly, privately, by the way. So this idea that they don't differ, they do differ.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, they are able to project a united force that the ANC is incapable of doing.
Yes. Okay, let's move into international affairs, Prince. There's been a lot that has been going on between South Africa and America specifically. Let's curtail it into that. And recently, probably let's start with the latest development, the deployment of Mkhize Jonas, a special envoy to Washington.
Let's start with that. And then we must go on to deal with what is happening to the world right now.
Yeah.
And then deal with the more serious substance.
Yes.
Because this Mkhize Jonas is a sideshow.
Okay, okay.
This Mkhize Jonas thing is a symptom of something I have been saying from the beginning of Cyril Ramaphosa's presidency.
Yeah.
And most South Africans have refused to listen to me. In fact, by the way, they have condemned me for saying it.
Mm-hmm.
That Cyril Ramaphosa is an incompetent leader, an incompetent president.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take this Mkhize Jonas thing. Now, the relations between the U.S. and Trump specifically, we know, and South Africa have been damaged. We know that. Trump has made it very clear. And he has even written an executive order detailing the sins that he thinks South Africa has committed. Sin number one is, and I've read the executive order, is that South Africa is cozying up with America's enemies. And he mentions specifically Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Cyril Ramaphosa, right? Presumably, he wants to repair the relations between the U.S. and South Africa. Who does he elect? Who does he appoint to become an envoy? He appoints Mkhize Jonas, who is the chairman of MTN, a company that has done things with Iran. That's stupid.
Yeah.
You have to be an idiot to think like that.
Yeah.
Do you think the Americans will talk to a guy like that, which has MTN, a company that has done things with Iran?
No ways.
No ways. So from the beginning, I mean, you don't need to be a president to know this stuff.
Yeah.
From the beginning, Mkhize Jonas is a no-no. It's a red flag.
Yeah.
Remember, the Americans, by the way, know everything that MTN has done in Iran. The Americans, by the way, have one of the best intelligence in the world. So anything that MTN has done in Iran, they know. Right? Now, the chairman of MTN must now go and talk to Trump. No ways. I would be shocked, by the way, if the Americans were even going to give him a visa to go to America. They'd probably not even give him a visa.
Mm.
That's number one. Number two, why did Trump expel Rasool? It's because Rasool insulted Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's get to the core of it.
Yeah.
Did Mkhize Jonas insult Trump or not? He did.
He did, yeah.
Now, why do I expect Trump to treat Mkhize differently from
Rasool?
It has to be an incompetent president who takes decisions like that. So, case closed.
Yes.
Cyril Ramaphosa is incompetent and is embarrassing our country. Full stop. Let's get to more serious stuff.
Yeah. What is happening? What are the let's talk about broadly the global balance of forces, especially after this second stint of President Trump as the leader of America. Because since he took office, it actually feels like it's been years. It's been 3 months in office, but so much has been happening in terms of shifts, issues, even tariffs, super tariffs against everyone across the world.
You see. What is happening in the world now is this. The world, historically, has been a game driven by empires.
Mm-hmm.
One empire is in charge for a period. At some point, that empire comes to an end. And you can go as far back as the Roman Empire, you can go even before then, and so on. At some point, Britain
yeah.
becomes a global empire,
mm-hmm.
Great Britain. And it falls. When it falls, there are no ructions when the British Empire falls. Why? Because it hands over the baton to an Anglo-Saxon empire, a new Anglo-Saxon empire,
mm-hmm.
which is America.
Mm-hmm.
So there are no ructions. That transition is very smooth. But typically when an empire falls, there are serious ructions in the world, and there's chaos, and there are wars. Now, America takes over. For about 120, 140 years, America is in charge. But now it has reached a point where it is falling.
Mm-hmm.
The American empire is falling.
Yeah.
And it is aware that it is falling. But its explanation of why it is falling is wrong. It's completely wrong.
Yes.
It looks outside. Says we are falling because of an outside force,
mm-hmm.
not inside. And by the way, that is the weakest point in American thinking. Every empire that has fallen historically has never fallen because of external forces. It has fallen because of internal weaknesses. So if you look at America as a society today, it's at its worst in terms of internal divisions. The Americans hate each other as if they are enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They can no longer have a civilized discussion with each other. They fight. And by the way, they are armed. They're just not shooting each other. But yeah. they are armed. So they hate each other. They are falling because they are weak. Then they externalize their internal problems. And they think that this fall is because of China. Right? Because why? China has studied the world and it has strengthened itself internally. And it has been rising. And it actually realized that there are two levers of power that have sustained the U.S. as a dominant force. Two. One, and this is number one, economics. Two, military power.
Mm-hmm.
China has built these two things. And by the way, Russia has ignored the first. That's why Russia is not a serious force in the world.
Yeah.
So China has built its economy and China has built its military. And China internally, as a society, it's coherent. The Americans feel threatened, but they don't know how to respond. Then comes a crazy leader called Donald Trump. Donald Trump is a crazy man.
Yeah.
I don't want to be deployed as an envoy to the U.S. So
yeah.
You can replay this thing
yeah.
100 years from now. I don't care.
Yeah.
Trump is crazy. And those who are around him can't think clearly. He doesn't have good strategists.
Mm-hmm.
So then they say, chaos theory. Let's just throw chaos across the world. And in the midst of that chaos, we'll rearrange things.
Yes.
And America is going to emerge as a superpower. They are mad. It's not going to happen that way. This chaos, when it ends, America will be the weakest vis-a-vis China.
Mm-hmm.
America will no longer lead the West. America will no longer lead the country. The world.
Yeah.
And it will no longer lead democracy. In fact, what America is doing is it's actually discrediting democracy. The idea that democracy is a better governance model, Trump and them are destroying that idea. In fact, China's model, by the way, which is a managed progressive dictatorship,
mm-hmm.
looks like a better model in the world today. So how does this end? It ends in the medium to long term with the strategic ascendance of China as a global leader. What are the implications for the world? The implications are China will be less interventionist in the way it deals with other members of the global community. Less interventionist and less prescriptive.
Yeah.
Now, they won't tell South Africa what to do. So if South Africa,
As long as
they get what they want. If you are chaotic as a country, they will leave you with your chaos.
Yes.
As long as they can extract whatever they want.
Yes.
So that's where we are going. You see, then you would ask, what would a country like South Africa do in the context of this chaos?
Exactly.
If South Africa had smart leadership. This is the time when we needed smart leadership.
Mm-hmm.
To say, you know what? All of these big forces, the China and the US are fighting, and Russia and all of that, Ukraine and so on, and Gaza and Israel. That's not our stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We had no business in starting those wars. We will not get involved, number one. Number two, we must strengthen ourselves internally. And we must do two things. One, we must strengthen our internal unity as South Africans. This is the time when we must be united, black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, we must focus on fixing our economy.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are on our own. This new world, there will be no big brother that's going to support some smaller brother somewhere. We will be on our own. So we should be focusing on fixing our economy, making sure Eskom works, there is no load shedding, making sure Transnet works, making sure there is water, making sure our roads, road infrastructure, everything that has unraveled our state, that's what we should be focusing on. And that stuff, by the way, cannot divide us. Do you want darkness in your house? No.
No.
Don't you want water?
I do.
A white person wants water.
Yes.
They want.
No, in fact, those are the things that unite us.
That's what we are supposed to be focusing on.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, we have an incompetent president, Cyril Ramaphosa. We also have a disorganized and a chaotic biggest component of the GNU, the ANC. That's why South Africa is in this chaos we are in.
And what do you think, who do you think they are mulling over as a potential replacement for Rasool? Because that's also has been an issue that has been done quite quietly about who becomes the new ambassador to the USA for South Africa.
Look, honestly, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the honest answer. But there are indications I'm seeing. These indications don't lead me to a name,
yes,
but they lead me to a personality and a character.
Yeah.
The fact that Cyril Ramaphosa chose Mkhwebisi Jonas, who's the wrong choice, by the way.
Yeah, as you said.
As
yeah.
I said. Shows you that Cyril Ramaphosa does not get it. He does not get what is going on. Whoever is going to appoint ultimately as our ambassador to the US will be someone who is not going to repair the relations between South Africa and the US.
Mm.
If that's not where he was going, he wouldn't appoint Rasool. I can give you, I don't have ambitions to be a president. I mean, I don't want to deal with the kinds of problems that Ramaphosa deals with. But I do think about South Africa.
Yes.
Because I'm patriotic and I love this country. And I see myself dying here and my children also dying here.
Mm-hmm.
I would have appointed someone who is non-political, with no political history.
Yes.
Someone who is neutral.
Yes.
I would have found a retired businessman who has done some business in that person's life in the US, who knows the US very well.
Mm-hmm.
This person is non-political, but has been successful in that person's career as a business person. And when the Americans Google, they can't find anything political about this guy. All they find is that this person once did business in the US and is a successful businessman.
Mm-hmm.
If you do that, you would play with the psychology of Donald Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
Donald Trump thinks of himself as a successful businessman.
Yes.
He would think, okay, wait a second. Maybe I should play golf with this chap.
Yeah.
And hear this chap out. Maybe there's some deal I can get.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Cyril can't think.
Yes.
And those around him can't think.
Yeah.
That's why they went for Mkhwebisi Jonas, who's complicating, who's muddying the waters even further. So, if we were to follow the logic behind Mkhwebisi Jonas, we can already foretell that whoever Cyril will appoint as our ambassador to the US will mess up instead of fixing things.
Yes. And you mentioned something about us extracting ourselves from the chaos that is happening, focusing internally. Would you then say it was a wrong move by South Africa to take the Israel to the International Court of Justice with regards to their crimes in Gaza?
Without a doubt. And I'll say this. If they want to lynch me, let them lynch me. I don't care. South Africa should never have taken Israel to the International
Court
of Justice. Never.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll explain why. Number one, that conflict that is going on between Palestine and Israel is a very old conflict.
Yes.
The idea that Cyril can sort it out by taking Israel to the... Because what do you get ultimately? Here's the thing. There is something called strategy, mm-hmm. and there's something called tactics. Strategy is the end goal.
Mm-hmm.
What do you get after doing everything else that you have done? What do you get? That is strategy. Tactics. Which route do I take to get what I want? So tell me, what did South Africa want to get by taking Israel to the international? What do you get?
Nothing.
It's idiotic. It's an idiotic strategy. So that's number one. Number two, Palestine is an Arabic society.
Mm-hmm.
It's surrounded by Arab neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Egypt, Lebanon, you can name them, right? When there's fire in a house next door, who helps first?
And the neighbors.
The neighbors.
Yes.
It's not a guy who's going to come from a neighboring village.
Yes.
To
put out the fire.
It's the neighbor.
Yes.
Yeah. Why are the neighbors not taking Israel to the international?
Interesting point.
Why is Palestine jumping over the neighbors to come to the southern tip of Africa to say, take this case to the international? Why? Why are the neighbors? Why is Egypt not doing it?
Interesting.
Now, that's what I call thinking.
Yes.
Cyril and his bunch can't think. If anybody came to me as a leader of South Africa and said, take Israel to the International Criminal Court, I would say, okay, tell me, why are the neighbors not going?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They are not going because they did not want to injure their national interests.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So South Africa ran there as a bunch of idiots to injure their own national interests. That's why now we are a target of the US. We have made ourselves the target of the US because we are stupid.
Yeah, because Israel is an extension of
the US.
The US.
We know that.
Yeah.
I mean, the Israeli lobby controls power in the US.
True.
Yeah. So once you get into that space, you must know what you are going to do when those big powers start pummeling you. And
yeah.
South Africa now is being pummeled. And let me tell you who the victims will be ultimately, by the way. And this is extremely important. The victims of all this chaos that Cyril has created between the US and America will be employees who have jobs in companies here in South Africa. Let me give you an example. BMW exports an X5 hybrid. A lot of those cars go to the US.
Mm-hmm.
Once they did what Trump has done to us, the BMW will have to downsize in Roslyn, because these cars, if we continue to export them to the US, they will be more expensive. The Americans won't buy them. They will buy locally manufactured cars in the US.
Yeah.
It means that the worker here in the north of Pretoria is going to lose a job because of Cyril Ramaphosa. Let's simplify this so that people get it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There will be someone who's going to lose a job here in Pretoria and in PE, Qeberha, Volkswagen.
Yeah.
Someone is going to lose a job there because of Cyril Ramaphosa's stupidity. Full stop.
Mm. But Prince, maybe I know you are pressed for time. We'll have part two in the next time. But to close it off, there's a point I forgot when we were talking about the future of South Africa, ANC, GNU. There's a point I wanted to ponder with you, which has also been discussed in political corridors. Patrice Motsepe, president of South Africa 2029. Possible?
He wants it. I know he wants it.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know he wants it.
Would he get it? Does he stand a chance?
No, his mistake, by the way, I once whispered to someone who claimed to be part of that project. I said, and it's a long time ago, he's been working on this thing for a long time.
Yes.
You know, if you see what he's doing with churches,
yes.
If you see what he has been doing with traditional leaders, and even this CAF thing, by the way, to boost
his... public standing, yeah.
I said to this person, go whisper into his ear. He must forget about the ANC. The ANC is a spent force. If he touches the ANC, he's not going to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
His mistake, in my view, is to think that in order for him to be president of South Africa, he must go via the ANC.
Mm-hmm.
The ANC has become so discredited in South Africa that anyone
who associates
with that party becomes hated by society.
Yeah.
And for a reason, by the way, the ANC, the damage the ANC has done to South Africa, by the way, and to the image of black people is irreparable. So Patrice Motsepe, he has all the money. He could get it, by the way, if he was smart and he has good strategies. He could get it. Because politics, by the way, it's about two things. It's about three things, actually. It's about personality. He does have a he's known. He's recognizable. There's no average South African who doesn't know who Patrice Motsepe is.
Yeah.
So if you took me, for example, I'm not known, and you say, I want to be president of South Africa, some villagers have, who is this chap?
Yeah.
But Patrice Motsepe is known. Number two, it's about what you are selling. Call it ideology. What is it that you are promising to society? Because society wants to get something. Tell them what you're going to give them so they can go vote for you. That strategies can sort out. It's easy. Number three is about money, and it's very important. Mm. You need a lot of money, my friend. You must buy as many t-shirts as possible.
Yeah.
And as many streetwise tours as possible, and hire as many buses as possible to transport people to rallies. That's how we do our politics.
Mm-hmm.
That he has, but he has made a tactical mistake associating himself and thinking that he must go through a hated party that has lost all credibility, the African National Congress.
What if then
they won't get it if he goes through that route?
But what if then he does what you say he must do? He disassociates himself with the ANC. So in the midst of the chaos post 2027, be it Paul Mashatile or Phila Malula is a new president of the ANC, with that chaos of ANC factions finishing each other off, as is usually the case.
They will definitely
exactly. Then in comes Patrice Motsepe through his friends in big business. They present him as this third choice, as this neutral person who will save the day. Okay, ANC factions, put down the guns. There's no need to fight. Cyril Ramaphosa, you are done. We are done with you. Move to the side. Patrice, here is the man. Come in. As like not through the ANC vehicle, but as a neutral, totally neutral party, an established business person who's done a lot, also now at CAF, blah blah blah, with ZCC, all these things
all that, stuff, he's doing, and many badges.
Yeah, he comes in. He's presented as this guy. No scandal. He doesn't have a scandal under his name. A successful businessman.
Sundowns
winning since he took over. He turned CAF around. I mean, I saw the PR around the past AFCON, the best since then. But you can see that there's this building of Motsepe as a fixer of things. So now he must fix South Africa.
Okay, let me say this. And I say this as a political scientist.
Yeah.
South Africa is ripe for messianic politics.
Yeah.
When a country has lost all hope, like we have. I mean, we have lost hope. I mean, let's be honest. As a society, we have lost hope. Just go into communities and see how the youth are hopeless, how they drink. It is no hope. We have reached that point.
Yes.
When people have reached that point, they're looking for a savior, a messiah to save them. That's where we are as a society. So if a Patrice, for example, were to present himself as a messiah, and that thing is packaged smartly,
yes,
he would stand a chance. That's my answer. It will depend on how that whole thing is packaged.
Yeah.
Yeah. He would stand a chance. But if he goes via the ANC, he stands no chance.
None whatsoever.
By the way, he will go down with the ANC.
Yeah.
He will be crucified for the sins committed by the ANC.
But finally, your parting shots about broadly politics in South Africa and what must happen going forward.
We have reached a rock bottom as a society.
Yeah.
When you try and imagine the future and looking at current circumstances, you would be right to feel a sense of hopelessness. But there is nothing called the end of a country.
Mm-hmm.
Countries go through cycles. Societies go through cycles of despair and optimism. South Africa has a lot of resources, by the way. The damage that has been done by the ANC over the past 30 years can be reversed. What is missing is leadership, specifically political leadership. So if some people somewhere who want to save South Africa were to focus on the development of young leaders, then they can arrest the decline in the medium to long term. So I'm very optimistic that there is a future for this country because the base is still relatively intact.
Yeah. Province, thank you so much. You must have a part two, I think, after the ANC MGC in December. Can we commit to that? Because it will give us a clearer picture of how things are moving.
Call me anytime, my friend. I will always come. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Don't make promises based on what the ANC told you it will happen. Yeah. What if the NGC doesn't happen?
Hey, it's
I doubt it will happen.
Is it? You doubt?
Yeah, but if it happens, I'll come.
Okay, thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you so much. That is Prince Mashele, political commentator as well as a published author. He was giving us his views about the days, the political days in South Africa, the future, the past, and the present. We thank him so much for his views and giving us his time. It was such an insightful conversation, but press for time. Next time, part two, probably sooner than that, but he said the man himself that is available. From ourselves, Sunday World Engage, thank you so much. Until next time, I am Mawanda Mashawala.